Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Coors Light. Let me read you something somebody sent me a while back. Maybe you've heard this, maybe not. This is the transcript of an actual radio conversation of a U.S. naval ship with Canadian authorities off the coast of Newfoundland in October of 1995. Radio conversation released by the Chief of Naval Operations on 10-10-95. The Americans: please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. Canadians: recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid collision. Americans: this is the captain of a U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course. Canadians: no, I say again, you divert your course. Americans: this is the aircraft carrier USS Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. That's 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. Canadians: this is a lighthouse. It's your call. Now, sometimes in life, we get our minds, our hearts set, and we think, you know what, God, my plan, my way, it's going to work, and I'm not changing. And you're on a collision course with the God of the universe, who is not going to change. He does not change. He knows what works. He's tracking you, and he's trying to get you maybe to change your direction for a reason. And one of the things that exposes our error and where we're going that doesn't work is light. But we're going to look at light, and I want to start in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. And maybe you're familiar with this, maybe you've never read it at all, but you've heard the words, in the beginning, God. That's where it all starts here in the Bible, as well as in creation. It says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So something exists. God has created this planet. There's this something. There's darkness, though, wherever it is. The earth was without form and void. There's just this mass. There is water. And the Spirit of God, this is a very interesting thing, even though it's dark, even though it's indistinguishable from what we know today, the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. So you have the presence of God, the power of God there, just waiting to do something in the darkness. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, and I think it's very important to point this out, when God merely speaks, things happen. And the reason that the Word of God is such a powerful thing is that when you read the Word of God mixed with the Spirit of God, taking these words and bringing them to life, you are reading the spoken Word of God. And when He speaks to you, it creates things. It changes things. There's power in the Word of God Himself. Then God said, this is all He said, let there be light. Now, it doesn't mean that there wasn't light. We'll see in a minute the scriptures say that God is light and in Him is no darkness. So it's not that the light did not exist. He is light. But over the face of the earth, there was darkness, the Spirit of God there, and He says, let there be light, and boom, there was light. Now, there was no one to notice it but God, because He hadn't created anything yet. But when you have darkness and light invades it, things change. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. What is the first thing He did? The first day, it's just put light in there. Screwed a light bulb in, and boom, there was light in the darkness. Something interesting I found, that science tells us that light is constituted of three rays, or groups of wavelengths distinct from each other, no one of which without the other would be light. And let me read that again. They are distinct from each other, no one of which without the others would be light. Each ray has its own separate function. The first originates, the second formulates, illuminates, or manifests, and the third consummates. The first ray, often called invisible light, is neither seen nor felt. The second is both seen and felt. The third is not seen but is felt as heat. Now, I'm not trying to make a correlation here between God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but it is fascinating to me that these three things, there's three components, none of which by themselves would be light, but all three together produce light. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, you cannot have God without all three of them because they all three are one. Somehow separate, but somehow the same. Now let me read you some verses. Let's start in Psalms. Psalm 27 verse 1 says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Then Psalm 36 9 says this, "For with you is the fountain of life." And then he makes an extraordinary, amazing statement. "In your light, we see light." It's only in His light that we can see light. Psalm 89:15 says, "Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance." And literally, He is light. He puts off light. If you jump all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, you'll see that in heaven, there is no power company. There are no power lines. There is no electrical systems. He literally lights up heaven itself. He is the light of heaven. Matthew chapter 5. And here it is fascinating that Jesus speaks to the people in that day, the audience that he had, and it's recorded to us, and it applies to us as well. Matthew 5:14, he said an amazing thing. He says, "You are the light of the world." So it's not just God. Now he says that you are the light of the world. "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light," doesn't say his light, he says, "let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." If you are a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, and God lives in you, you literally have light. You carry light. You are the light of the world. Jesus was here, and as we'll see in a moment, the scriptures where he spoke, he was light on the planet, God himself on the planet. But when he left, did the light go out? No, he left the light in us. So when you go into your work, into your office, into your family reunions, at Christmas, wherever you go, you are the light of the world. You are the ones that they see. You are the ones, and if you've ever been uncomfortable with this, there's sometimes, if you're walking with God, and we'll see the difference that that makes also today, when you're walking with God, if you walk into a room where people prefer darkness, not visible darkness, but spiritual darkness, is it amazing that if you're walking with God, people that you ran with or that ran with you want to run you off now? They don't want you around because the light that is in you exposes the darkness that is in them. And they're like, "Man, you know what? You go party somewhere else. We don't want you around. There's something wrong with this cat. He is exposing who we are, what we're doing. We felt comfortable before with him, but now something's changed," and they want to get away from you because they can't do their deeds in darkness the way they used to because you expose what's going on with them. John 1 verse 4 says this, "In him," talking about Jesus, "was life, and the life was the light of men." Then down in verse 9 it says, "That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world." Jesus himself, this light that came into the world, and he gives light to every man coming into the world. In John chapter 3, go a few pages over, John chapter 3 verse 18. "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." And I've shared this before, nightclubs, wherever it is, kitchens, roaches, you turn the light on, everything scatters. And it's the same thing in spiritual things. The light comes in the world, and the condemnation is light has come into the world, but men love darkness. You know what? We love darkness. We would rather go in a hole somewhere and do our deed and do our thing and not bother with God, but it doesn't work. It is dark in there. It is lonely in those places. Verse 20, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." But you'd be amazed what happens when the truth is spoken in love. You know what? If you're living in darkness and you're done with darkness and you're looking for light, you want somebody to cut to the chase and say, "You know what? Whether I agree with you or not or like it or not, just tell me what's true. Tell me there's hope. Expose what I've got that I know is wrong and show me how to move forward." And it's amazing. Even more people show up. You think you're going to run them off with speaking the truth, but they come back anyway because the light is powerful. The truth is a powerful thing. John 8:12, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, guys, this is not rocket science. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. If you will follow me, you won't walk in darkness. This is the simplicity of it. If you're walking basically in the dark out there on your own, and it's confusing, it's dark. The lights are on, but you're living in the dark and you know it. You need some light. He is the light. That's what he said. That's the simplicity of it. He said, I am the light of the world. If you'll follow me, you're not going to walk in darkness anymore. So what should we be doing? You ought to be following Jesus. Well, what if he takes me somewhere I don't want to go? Is it better to follow him and risk that or stay in the dark? Where are you going to end up doing it your way? The same place you've ended up every time or worse? But if you follow him, you're going to have the light of life. Go to John chapter 12, verse 34, a few pages over. John chapter 12, verse 34. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? Then Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. I mean, Jesus uses no-brainer stuff. You try to travel in the daytime because at night you can't see where you're going or what's around you. It's just so much easier in the light. He says, he who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. He keeps hitting them on this thing. I'm here. You see it. But still they prefer darkness. John 12, 44, a few lines down. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. It's your choice. He says, I didn't come to judge you. You want darkness, you got darkness. But if you want light, I'm light. And I'll change your darkness into light and show you how to live and where to go. Acts chapter 26, a few pages to the right. Paul, when he became a Christian, what Jesus came and said to him and asked him to do is, he was telling this to King Agrippa, I believe, in Acts 26. And he's recounting what had happened to him, the whole story. And part of it, let's just jump down to verse 17. He says, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. And this is what he sent Paul to do, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. Open their eyes first, then to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. A huge piece of this is taking mankind who lives in darkness and switching them where they can live with some light and know what's going on. Look at Romans chapter 13, a few pages over still. Romans 13, 11. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. This is speaking to Christians. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Now, literally, light is armor. It's protection. Now, if you're afraid of the dark, and you are in the dark, but you have light. You have a light source. You have a flashlight of some kind. You have a lantern of some kind. You don't leave it off. You turn it on. And the second that light comes on, what happens? It expels the darkness. It's gone. The darkness is gone. So if you're in the dark, get hooked up with the light or turn the light on and cast off, he says here, the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Protect yourself with light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness. Even contrast here, night and day. What happens in the night? What happens in the day? Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Now, who is this light? It's Jesus. Light and darkness is referenced here, and I keep coming back to this, and I'm going to throw it in here again. He says, 2 Corinthians 6:11, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You're not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be open. And then in verse 14, he says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Paul writing to a church, a bunch of screwed up people just like us. You would not even have half the New Testament if it weren't up for screwed up Christians. So thank God for screwed up Christians. Paul writes to them in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, and says this, "For you were once darkness," literally calls them darkness. Jesus called us the light of the world. At one point, we were darkness. He says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." But he says, rather expose them by conviction to bring to light or to expose. Now, this is not going and going, caught ya! You're going to hell! I caught ya! I know it now! It's proven right here! That's what the Pharisees did with the woman caught in adultery. They waited. They plotted. They were basically Pharisaical peeping Toms. We caught her in the very act of adultery at the moment of consummation. We were there. What were they doing there? And they were excited that they had caught her. I'm sure they were. They caught her. They saw it all. They hauled her in half naked, put her in front of Jesus, said, "We caught her. The law says, let's kill her. What do you say?" And he says, "Well, whoever's not sinned, pick up a stone and you start. And we'll stone her right here, right now." And they all walked off. The point here is not to go wagging your finger and punching people in the nose and making them feel bad. They feel bad already. Life sucks in the dark. They feel bad enough already. They're looking for somebody to help them to get out of the dark into the light and their life change. And you go in gently, surgically, compassionately, with mercy, and say, "This isn't working. It's not working for you. I'm not going back to it because it didn't work for me. Come with me. Come out of the dark. Let's get out of the dark into the light." 1 Timothy 6:16. Talking about God, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light. I've shared this before. One of the reasons you get a new body in a new heaven and a new earth one day, you get new eyes. You get eyes that can absorb the glory, the majesty, the awesomeness of our God. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light." Now go over to 1 John chapter 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life," talking about Jesus, "the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and which was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say," now let's look at verse 6 and following, "if we say," and by the way, this is written to Christians. If you're not a Christian yet, then don't be applying this to you. This stuff is written to Christians. "If we as Christians say that we have fellowship with Him," we have intimate relationship with Him. We are walking and talking with God. If we claim that that is the case, "if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." You're not telling the truth. You're lying. "If we walk in the light as He is in the light," then what's going to happen? "We have fellowship with one another." The second thing that happens, he says, "if you walk in the light as He is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." But they see it going on in here. We love each other. Jesus said over, I think it was John 13, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." This is how everybody's going to know that you are My followers, that you love one another. And they say, well, if they love each other, maybe they'll love me. If they can get along with each other, maybe there's a way they'll get along with me in spite of who I know I am and the problems that I have. Verse 8, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." You say, well, all right, I've got sin. And most people know verse 9, haven't read much before it or after it. "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us," same word, "cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." Then go down to 1 John chapter 2. Let's jump in at verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Isn't it amazing how the brighter the light, if you got lights on, you don't stumble over stuff like you do in the dark. And he literally uses this analogy. There's no cause for stumbling in him, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. It is so important to stay rightly related to the Father, to stay right related to God, because it'll affect your whole life, all of your relationships. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's pick up with verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor in handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness. And this is where we started in Genesis. It is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Richard Ellis will return in a moment to wrap up today's talk with a few final words. But first, I want to share some important information about the program. The reason we do this is to share with you the good news. When you open your heart and life to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that's the beginning point of the most amazing journey you'll ever experience. But it's also a journey that we want to join with you. So if you've been on this road for a while or just getting started, let us know how we can help. Maybe you've got some questions, stuck in neutral, or even wondering how to take the next breath. We're here. Give us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us through our website, richardellistalks.com. We're here to celebrate with you, too. So if this program has made a difference to you and encouraged you in any way, tell us about it. Let's keep this conversation going by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also send us an email through our website, richardellistalks.com. That would really make our day to know how Richard's talks have helped you. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or email us through the website, richardellistalks.com. And speaking of the messages, you can find today's talk along with every message from Richard at our website, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we really believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute to this ministry by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. We would be so grateful for your gifts. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
Last night I was sitting at the office, sitting there and the phone rang. So I pick up the phone, and it was a guy who's been two or three times, pretty overwhelmed, a lot of stuff going on in his life. And we got on the phone, and I said, well, we haven't hooked up yet. I'd sure like to talk to you. What are you doing next week? And he was kind of overwhelmed and losing it even on the phone. I thought, you know, sometimes you don't wait till next week. And long story short, on the phone last night, this guy prayed with me and asked God to come into his heart and into his life. This guy on the phone last night went from darkness to light. I did a little research. There's a region where Parmesan cheese comes from called Parmigiano, where the word for heart is cuore. Told you it was in there. So all this is talking about is Coors Light. It's heart light. It's that same God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And somebody just like that, what beer can never do, God changes somebody from the inside out. I thank God for what he did in that man last night, and I pray for God's sake, for your sake, if you're in the same boat, that you'll do something about that and say, God, I'm in the dark, come get me. I need not just a closet light on, I need a heart light on so I can see and live the way you intended for me to. And if you are a Christian and you're in the dark, it is as simple as flipping a switch to get back in the light. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.